It happens every year. I am struck by the contrast of 2 days, October 31st and November 1st. Halloween, or more properly, All Hallows' Eve, on the precipice of All Saints' Day. All Hallows' Eve, Halloween, meant to be a day before, like Christmas Eve, has in many ways taken the primary place in our culture's calendar, to the extent to which All Saints' Day is pretty much ignored, and that's why today we're bringing it before you. In its tradition, you may know this, people dressed up as ghosts and goblins and scary things to try to drive out the demons, to make pure the place to worship the saint, to worship it like the saints, not to worship the saints, but to worship like the saints, to have a day purified. But over time, it's this evil, it's the ghosts and the goblins and the evil spirits that have become the focus. They are the ones being celebrated. One of my children's favorite cartoons is Phineas and Ferb. I know some of you in the room know that cartoon. It's a very, very engaging, interesting one. But the bad guy in the show is called Heinz Doofenshmirtz, and he is an evil scientist. And one in the Halloween episode, he goes, "Halloween, it's a great day. It's the only day I have to celebrate evil." And what he means by jest, or the show means by jest, unfortunately has taken on grave seriousness in our world. We have become a culture that's in a season of Halloween, and not in a good way. A man who drove onto the bike path in New York City chose Halloween because he hoped to kill as many people as he possibly could in the name of God. Seems that the prophecies of old are right. People love darkness. They run from the light. They confuse the darkness with light. And even our responses to deeds of darkness are themselves dark. Whereas the killing of innocents deserves justice, is true justice achieved by killing in return? Whatever stance you may take on capital punishment, one fact that cannot be denied is that it never has proved an effective deterrent for violent crime. In fact, studies have shown that violent crime often spikes after publicized executions. What this shows me is that instead of the kill-the-killer mentality only intensifies that dark violence that shrouds our world. Using violent deeds or words never defeats dark forces. It may temporarily hold them at bay, but the underlying evil remains and finds new ways to be expressed. That is why in the book of Revelation, the conquering of the beast that comes before the scene we saw is not done through military might, but by the blood of the Lamb. The saints don't take up arms to defeat the forces of darkness. They instead run to the one on the throne who has the power and might. One of the great correctives that Martin Luther and other reformers made was to reclaim the origin of the word saint. The Holy Roman Catholic Church tended to restrict that designation to those who met a very exacting criteria of leading exemplary lives, performing miracles. But the word for saint, hagios, means holy or set apart. Saints are nothing more or nothing less than those set apart to be children of God and knowing that they belong to God. That's why in our scene from Revelation, there are multitudes that no one can count. It's far beyond the Catholic canon of saints. They're not a special class of super holy Christians. They are instead the priesthood of all believers. So Jesus sits down with these saints of his day, surrounded by the dark forces of the power of the Roman Empire, to teach them how to be the set-apart ones. I read to you from the Message translation because I think sometimes a more familiar translation gets so rote, it loses a little bit of its meaning, and hopefully in hearing a new a different translation than you're used to. You heard it differently. But I wonder what might be an antagonistic version of those blessings. Listen to this. Blessed are the rich in things and in self-assurance. Blessed are those untouched by loss. Blessed are the powerful. Blessed are those who are realistic about righteousness, compromising at every turn. Blessed are those who demand and exact an eye for an eye. Blessed are the crafty and opportunistic. Blessed are those bold enough to make war. Blessed are those who, doing good things, receive many accolades. Blessed are those who, following Jesus, are widely praised and adored. When you listen to them like that, it's not hard to imagine how those become the beatitudes of our culture, and in fact, perhaps our world, and sometimes our beatitudes. But the reality is that somewhere down the road, those beatitudes of culture, of self-centeredness, they will fizzle out. Consider how when we enslave ourselves to our jobs, when we find our relationships suffer, there is no guarantee that our work will lead to success, how quickly that fizzles. Or when we pursue every possible medical option for a health crisis, yet sooner or later our bodies will give out. Or when we chase after power and find that we are constantly in need to defend it. Or when we aspire for popularity and find that we are always fearful of saying anything controversial lest anyone dislike us. When we do these things, we lead disingenuous lives and we suffer as a result. This sounds a lot like hell to me. I don't know about you, but it sure does. What Jesus offers here is not a prescription of how to get right with God. It is a description, rather, of what God does to make us right for the kingdom of heaven. You are blessed when you accept the person God made you to be, God's child, and you live like it. You don't receive a blessing, you discover the joy of being blessed, and you can give that blessing away. But Jesus' warning to the crowd still holds true today. This will make you stand out. This will make you seem odd to those who aspire for those other beatitudes that I named. In some societies and sometimes, this may even cause you to be persecuted. You will stand out in a culture that values success and security and power and privilege and acclaim and honor. On Wednesday night, this past Wednesday, I asked those of you in attendance to name your saints. It was a rich time. You know, and I noticed is none of you said a famous person. All of you mentioned someone whose sainthood was not defined by their world status, people who may not be remembered here long, long after they die, but who lived out the blessedness that Jesus described in a way that you could see and inspired your faith. They became a blessing to you. You and I will stand out, but the good news is we'll be in good company. As Christians who declare the kingdom of God to be at hand, we must confess our tendency to abide by our culture and society's beatitudes, even as we speak against those things we perceive as not of God, not the way of Jesus. As saints, we are set apart by God for a purpose. We are to name the dark insanity that deceives this world, not by violence and not by arrogance or of biting words, but by direct, honest speech spoken from our hearts that are filled with God's love. When those around you want you to join their company in ways that violate the image of God in you or in others, you are to stand out and declare that this is not who God has called you to be. I think the timing of this message is particularly good because we are approaching upon Election Day. 'Tis a season, is it not, for discrediting, demeaning, spewing hatred and falsehood? It is socially accepted. It is, in fact, expected if you're running for public office. I find myself caught up in the spirit. We're told that the ads will be more brutal in the upcoming days. But I ask you, how does this accord with Jesus' teachings? How does treating the candidates as nothing more than embodiments of political ideology that you disagree with and therefore to be condemned abide with Jesus' words that they too are made in the image of God, just as much as those we support? You see, the quest for righteousness void of Christ causes us to stand in the darkness of the world. What if we said instead, I don't agree with his or her politics, but I believe that they are a person worthy of love and respect because Christ died for them as much as he died for me and you. Wow. Try that out at a party, see how well it goes over. But shouldn't that be how we are, how we live out Jesus' commands? Isn't Jesus worth the risk? How might we start to do our part to counteract the intensifying partisanship that paralyzes our working for the common good? How might we even do our part to counteract the racism and nationalism and isolationism and classism that blinds people to the existence of the kingdom of heaven where there is no distinction of race and sex and class? One of the great ends of our church that I think resonates, and that's church, big C, by the way, with this is called to be the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the great saints, in an attempt to live out Jesus' teaching, formed a community based upon the Sermon on the Mount. For he believed that Jesus was being sincere. He wasn't being rhetorical when he talked about forming an alternative community that looked so different than the world around it. But I say to you, this type of community is not meant to be lived in a cloister, but out there in the world. It is our witness as a community that shines light into the world in darkness. It is our faith that is to inspire those without hope for a better tomorrow. It is our love that will offend, yes, but also calls others to join in a good company where the saints of light rejoice in the presence of God, where we know that God has purified us in Christ and we will someday see him face to face. We are the saints. We are the good company. We are the poor in spirit and the meek and the mourning, the just, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted, and the recipients of the heavenly reward. We are the blessed, and so we are to be the blessing. So, saints, stand up. Stand out. Because our world needs it. Stand up and stand out, for our God ordained and commands it. Stand up and stand out because our Savior, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants the whole world to enjoy the good company that he is leading into the light. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And all the saints said, Amen.